All right, all I want to do this morning as disciples is to prime your hearts with what Jonathan just said, because we want to be doers of the word, not just hearers. So if you could turn to Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to do the impossible today, and I am going to talk slow. And my slow talking is going to be like normal talking to you. So I want you guys to be able to get this. This is really important. So Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19, starts out with therefore. Anytime you see a therefore, it's therefore because of what was read in the previous context, which was the first 18 verses. And the first 18 verses of this, they're basically talking about the blood of bulls and goats are ineffective to completely wash us from sin. But then in verse 14, it says, for by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever. By one sacrifice forever made perfect those who are being made holy. So he's saying, therefore, because of this, brothers and sisters, we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. The curtain that we're referring to here is the curtain that separated the holy place from the holy of holies in the temple. There was a curtain that separated God's presence from the people, and only once a year was the high priest, after he went through a ritual, allowed to enter into the holy place on Yom Kippur, which was the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for the people. But when Jesus was on the cross in Matthew 27, it says that he cried out with a loud voice, he gave up the spirit, and immediately the curtain was ripped in two from top to bottom, which is symbolic for you and I that we now have access into the presence of God. We no longer have to have a great high priest go in before us. We can enter his presence ourselves. So because of this, this new and living way, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, it says, let us. Now, before I go any further, I want to say there's five let us statements in this. It depends on what version you're using. If you're using ESV, there's three. If you're using the new NIV, it's three. But I think the old one with the five really captures the context of what he's trying to say here to a corporate people. And he says here in verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. So there is an individual call for you and I in James chapter 4, verse 8. It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We have an individual call to draw near to God's presence. But according to here, we also have a corporate responsibility to draw near to God in his presence. If we come here in this place and we draw near to each other, but we never draw near to God, we have wasted our morning and we have went through a religious section that doesn't help anybody, doesn't accomplish anything, because freedom doesn't come outside of the presence of God. Transformation does not come outside the presence of God. Healing for us does not come outside of the presence of God. As a matter of fact, the best things that have ever happened in my life happened in God's presence. So he has called us here, first of all, to draw near to God's presence. Let us draw near corporately. Now, the second thing, there's five let us's, but I really want to talk about just two. The other three you can go back and read and see later. It's good stuff. But verse 24, he says, and let us consider, verse 25, he says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But he says, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching, the day in capital D, the coming of Christ again. But he says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. So there is a corporate call for us to be together. There's a corporate call for us as disciples to meet together. As a disciple, you are called to meet with other disciples. Discipleship never happens outside the context of relationship. If you are a disciple and you are being discipled, it only happens in the context of relationship with another disciple. Only disciples can make disciples. So a while back, there was some of us, we were talking about where our greatest growth in Christ has ever happened. Where do we see our most maturity come to fruition? Where do we see our disciples grow the most? And it was a hands-down, unanimous decision that our greatest growth comes from one-on-one meetings in small house church settings. Why is that? Well, because when I'm one-on-one or I'm in a group of 10 or 5, I have time to unpack and to wash each other's feet and to get into each other's lives and to encourage one another. As this, in a group setting, we don't have the time to do that here. This is good, but this is not the primary meeting of the week. You've heard Jonathan and Sam say this many times. This is supplemental to the other meetings throughout our week. So if you're a disciple and this is your primary source of being fed and this is your primary source of body life, you are living an unhealthy Christian life. You are feeding from the scraps of the table that the Father has to offer you, and it is not healthy. We need to be in relationship with one another. Now, just let me give you this example. We can be with each other in house church and never accomplish anything. Just like I can have an infection in my arm, and I could go to the hospital and sit in the waiting room for 4 hours and walk out of the hospital and never get treated for my infection, even though the means existed at the hospital to treat my condition. In the same way, I could come to house church with guilt and shame and condemnation, and I could sit for 2 hours, and I could never receive healing, even though the means exist there for me to be treated, right? So there's two primary reasons this happens. The first one is what he starts with in this passage, because it's the most important, is when we come together, we have to draw near to God. We have to draw near to his presence, because only in his presence, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So the first key is being in his presence. The second key is transparency. It's hard to be transparent with each other because we feel like we have to put on that face, that thing that we have it all together, and we're not transparent. So if I go to the hospital with an infection in my arm and I say to the lady, I have an infection in my arm, she can call the doctor. The doctor could come diagnose my infection. He can prescribe me medication. I can ingest the medication and begin to receive treatment and healing for the infection in my arm. In the same way, if I'm in house church, the only way that I receive healing, he read it in James 5, is if we confess our sins to one another and pray for one another, we may be healed. Healing and prayer is only preceded by confession. So I have to be transparent about what's going on within me, because we all know that if I have an infection in my arm and I do not treat it, what will infections do? They're going to spread. It's going to spread throughout my body, just like sin in my heart. If I don't confess it, it is going to spread. No matter how big or how small you think sin is, the Bible says that all sin leads to death. All sin. All sin allowed to remain will eventually lead to death. So I'm learning as a disciple how to keep a short leash on stuff that's growing in my heart. Because if I don't have brothers and sisters around me that I can get that out when it grows, it will fester and it will infect me and poison me from the inside out. So just last night, I met with Jonathan and I had some stuff growing in my heart yesterday morning, and it really messed me up throughout the day, and I was able to confess that. And like he said, when you're confessing this stuff that's in your heart, it's like freedom that comes because you're in the presence of God and you're receiving healing for that thing. So it's very important for us not just to draw near to each other and be in corporate relationship, but to be in corporate relationship in the presence of God and being transparent with each other. So it's kind of a bad weekend to ask this, but because I know there's some people gone. How many people in here are leading a house church? Can you raise your hand? How many people in here are leading a house church? So we got 1, 2, 3. I know that Randy just has a group. That's 4. So there's some people in here that are leading a house church. So if you are not living in body relationship with other believers, I encourage you to get with some of these people. And if you are in one of these house churches and you know people that aren't actively being discipled or in relationship with each other, I encourage you to invite them, because I guarantee you half the people that aren't going because they've never been invited. That's a big thing. People don't want to be, you know, obtrusive. So I encourage you to reach out to the body, because we don't grow apart from each other. That's not the way God designed and orchestrated this thing to happen.